Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Sis Lulu, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Malote.
How are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed and highly favored.
Ah, fantastic. You know, Bongi tells me that we're going to be concluding this series next week. I'm like, oh, man, Bongi, why? Man, so this is the second last installment, and I'm so sad, actually, that we are, you know, going towards the end. Sis Lulu, we are continuing to talk about relationship and relationships, and we're talking about the Imago Dialogue, a tool of differentiation. What are we going to be discussing this week?
Oh, thank you, Zama. I actually am not happy about leaving next week.
Oh,
however,
man.
I told Bongi that I'm winding down everything. I need time out, Zama. It's been a long year.
I
need to stop being clever and wise and trying to have my act together and just be, you know?
Yes, yes, yes. And connect.
Anyway. Yes, and connect, and also connect, and connect with myself as well.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
just
yes.
Have that time to reboot.
Exactly.
And just be me. Yeah. So Zama, I just want us to finish today what we spoke about last week. I want us to finish that, and I hope I can in these few minutes that we have. You know what, Zama? Last week you asked a question that is quite significant, and I thought I should just maybe start exactly from there.
All right.
Your question was, is this then not too formal, you know? And I've heard some people saying it's almost like mechanical, and I feel like it is something that we need to get into and also get to understand maybe the rationale. So we can agree, Zama, that for people who are married, indeed, it does sound a bit too formal, almost like you're speaking now to a business partner. And we know that in marriage, spontaneity is very important. Otherwise,
yes,
marriage becomes dull and predictable and boring. However, I want to say, Zama, you know, it's important for us to understand that marriage itself is too serious a matter. And sometimes I have discovered that unless we stop this careless, casual, nonchalant attitude around marriage, because I believe that is what has destroyed some marriages, where we don't take it as a very serious institution. You know, communication is the bedrock of every relationship.
Yep.
So that is why I feel like, if we love each other, some people have said to me, but if we love each other, why should we be conscious? Why can't things just happen naturally? Because we fell in love naturally. And I say to people, listen, marriage is not going to build itself. If you are not establishing it, if there is no vision, you know, if we don't have any goal, we don't even know where we are going. If we don't do some SWOT analysis, you do know that you are working for that institution and organization. You guys are going to sit down maybe end of the year or beginning. What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? What are opportunities? What threats? Same things are my in a marriage. Otherwise, let's not get shocked then when it does not thrive, because marriage is a living organism.
Yeah.
And like all living organisms, Zama, there are rules of engagement and there are terms and conditions. I was actually reflecting on this, Zama, and I thought about, you know what? I'm sure when my husband fell at me, he did not just meet me in the corridors and shout, I love you, I want to get married to you. It was too important a subject, Zama. He could not handle it casually. There was some praying and fasting. There was some consulting with guys for tips. Hey. And there are people who also, you know, who kind of like spoke to him, who kind of like gave him some tips. You know, my husband is Zulu, I'm Xhosa. How are we going to corner this Xhosa girl who's so assertive and who speaks so much and all of that? But we needed to think about it seriously. But those are more on a serious note. I want to say, sometimes when it comes to communication, we are unequally yoked as partners in terms of style, assertiveness, openness, all of that. And this is based actually on the nature factors. And, you know, we have heard about this, especially when we're studying temperaments. We speak in Imago that people can be a maximizer, that is a shark, attack, articulate, explosive, expressive kind of style. But some people, they are minimizers, you know, the turtle, reluctant, hesitant, quiet, uncommunicative person. So with an imago dialogue and consciousness, it helps so that the minimizer is not overwhelmed and the maximizer is not taking control over everything, but they also learn to regulate themselves. And again, Zama, moreover, when there's a power struggle, there are triggers all around. Usually our communication is filled with a lot of criticizing and blaming and arguing and tension and toxicity. So since we spoke about consciousness, this style, Zama, is going to help us to be conscious about how we honor the boundaries, remember, of space and time, and also how we communicate in a way that ensures that there is safety. And now, until you have moved from being easily triggered, until you have learned how to regulate ourselves, until you are conscious about the otherness of the other person, curious about their world, then this is going to have to do, because we are building something. And once this way has become our default mode, you are going to no longer have to see it as mechanical. I hope I do make sense.
Yeah, you make a lot of sense. You made use of a curious phrase for me, and you said we are sometimes unequally yoked in terms of styles, and I thought to myself, that's an interesting choice of word. Are you saying that there are instances where it's not ideal our being married to one another?
No, I actually, what I meant was that when I said unequally yoked in terms of communication style, I simply meant because of our personality traits, because of our temperaments, we are quite different and incompatible. So which is why you might find then one person's style is to control, to maximize, you're always pointing out things, you always want to discuss things and have an opinion. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other person may be more introverted, more reserved, more relaxed, tend to come out.
But it's so something that can be attended way, to.
No, definitely. It is like when we do this dialogue, then we're able to come on par. There's balance. You're not on this other end of the spectrum, because then we both can be using this style where both of us can have a voice where when I say something, instead of me as a minimizer or the introvert, instead of me saying one thing, and already, because you are a maximizer, you've got already 10 answers to actually even destroy that theory and tell me how it is not like that. In this style, when I speak to you now as a minimizer, you get to pause and say, so what I hear you say is, you know, you get frustrated with this. Am I with you? Am I hearing you?
I see.
Is there more about that? Do you see the beauty of that? Mm-hmm, so as a minimizer, I'm not afraid of being attacked and you punching holes in what I'm saying. But instead, you're asking me, is there more about that? As you mirror, you are stepping outside of your world. You leave your biases, Zama. You leave your assumptions and conclusions. You come and join me in my world. So as a minimizer, you're helping me come out more. Remember when you're a turtle, you're always hiding because you're afraid of whatever explosives that are going to come from your partner who is very good in words. But when I sit down as a minimizer with you as my partner, and you're asking me, I hear you say, Lulu, am I with you, Lulu? Mm-hmm. Am I hearing you when you say what frustrates you is? And is there more? Do you want to shed more light on that? So obviously, you're allowing me to go deeper, you know, because I don't have to be afraid that you're going to argue and oppose like you normally do in the old style of communication.
I get you. I get you. Fantastic. Loud and clear. All right. So we can then get into today's discussion.
Yes. So remember what you said. We said, okay, it's important for us when we make an appointment, we are honoring the space, we are honoring boundaries, space and time. You are not forcing me. And secondly, you're helping me to be curious and come out. And when you mirror, it means you're stepping out of your world and biases and assumptions and conclusions. You are listening to what your partner is saying. And then when you summarize, you want to check with your partner that I did get the essence of what they were communicating. Two last steps, Zama, and then we're done with this, is what we call validation. Appointment, mirror, summarize. Validate. And when you validate, Zama, this is a very important step in communication. You actually are communicating to your partner that I understand and I accept the logic of what you are saying.
Mm-hmm.
I accept your point of view. Remember that otherness of the other.
Yeah, yeah.
I may not agree with you, but I actually can see sense in what you are saying. Now, in order for me to do this, summer, I really have to visit your world and see the issue through your eyes.
Mm.
So let me give you an example.
Right,
so when I'm validating Zama, I'm going to say, yeah, I can understand that indeed you get frustrated when I leave the car without petrol. And I do not even tell you. I mean, given the fact that in the morning there's traffic and you need to get to work on time, it makes sense. You know, you make sense. I'm validating that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to agree, but I'm trying to see sense in what you are saying. For an example, Zama, you might say to a partner, yeah, you make sense. And what makes sense is that indeed you are an adult. And as such, you need to be spoken to with respect. That makes sense that we are equals in this marriage. So me speaking down to you and using mean words that are mean, words that are actually meant to denigrate you,
mm-hmm.
you make sense. You see? I'm validating you. Okay, from where you are standing, I'm able to see that indeed, it would be frustrating to have someone who speaks to you like you're a child. It would be frustrating to be married to someone who won't come home on time and they won't even tell someone that, okay, I'm actually going to be late. You make sense. And what makes sense is that, yeah, it's a cruel world out there. Indeed, when I'm not home at 5 like I should be, and I don't let you know, it's 5:30, it's 6, it's 7, indeed, it would make sense that you'd be frustrated and agitated and even angry. You understand? That's validation. You make sense.
Mm-hmm. It's quite interesting because I think that validation, it's something that would have happened internally before you speak to another person. So you would sit and say, you know what, it actually makes sense that should be angry about the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Actually, I think I should actually do better. I need not do this, this and the other. So which means that it's something that you would have also spoke to yourself about and to say, you know what, I really truly need to do this. Because I think it needs some time to, you know, reflect and also accept by yourself that you are wrong. And I think with a lot of people unable to do a reflection, it may be difficult to get to that validation. Your thoughts there?
It's a half functioning of communication. It does not just happen, like you are saying. It really requires you to be at a certain level of being able to self-reflect. However, you've got to remember that when you have mirrored, you will have started learning to get into their world. So that mirroring will have allowed you to stay with them.
Uh-huh.
I hear you say, did I get that? What you are saying is this. Am I with you? Is there more to that? So as they speak about it, also they'll be expressing. So it's like I'm pulling you into my world, because for you to validate, like you're saying, you must be able to reflect and be in my world. So indeed, you are right when you say it needs, it's a skill, it needs you to be able to actually search yourself and kind of like hear what they are saying and then see how it is that time is frustrating them with what is happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Can the other partner nudge the partner that needs to do the validation to say, come this way, I need you to validate me, or should it be an internal job of the spouse who needs to validate?
Well, if, for instance, a couple was in therapy with me, I would have first gone over them with the other three steps. Once I can see that you are able to mirror and complain and contain, you are able to summarize. So in essence, what I hear is this, then I will take you now to the level of validation. What you are saying is right. The other partner can nudge. For an example, the other partner could ask,
mm-hmm.
tell me, how would you feel if I did 1, 2, 3 and I left and I did not tell you,
mm-hmm.
how would that make you feel? How would it make you feel if I take your cell phone by mistake, I take it with me to work, and when I come back, I don't even apologize, I don't take ownership? So I'm actually treating you, I'm nudging you, like you are saying, mm-hmm. so that you can start experiencing what other people are experiencing when something is happening. Mm-hmm. So I don't even have to say, Zama, about what is happening to me. If I know how much you love your car, mm-hmm. if I know how much you value your car and you around your car, you don't want stuff to be left there, then I would get to that nudge. Like I know husband hates boots and jackets in his boot. So exactly that. So how does it not frustrate you? How did it make you feel when I kept leaving those things, even though you had told me?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
you can begin to see that, yeah, I know exactly that being on edge, that being irritable, like Lomuntu Lona does not respect me, she does not hear what I'm saying. So you can definitely nudge your partner, Zama.
Beautiful. Well, Sis Lulu, I must allow you to then do some conclusion in the next two minutes that we have.
Okay. Great. The last thing, Zama, would be empathize, Zama. You need to learn to empathize. Empathize, Zama. Sympathy looks down, but empathy goes down. So here, this is that point where you begin to guess as to what your partner may have been feeling around this frustration. This is when she has spoken about her experience. Now you are imagining how it makes her feel. So you would say, okay, I imagine when I do this, you feel unappreciated, you feel lonely,
yep.
you feel abandoned. I suppose it makes you feel you are disrespected. I suppose, so you are guessing the feeling. Now, empathy is when you are now wearing the shoes of your partner
mm-hmm.
and you are imagining how it makes them feel. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, I can imagine how this must make you angry
mm-hmm.
or confused or sad. Or if it's an appreciation, wow, I can imagine how when I bought you flowers unexpectedly, it made you feel excited, how it makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are empathizing, you are trying, and remember, Zama, especially with the male gender.
Yeah.
You are not normally socialized into this thing of feeling and emotion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can hardly guess emotions, but you can start doing that with this. That, okay, oh, so it made you feel sad. Oh, it made you feel angry. Oh, so this makes you feel happy. This makes you feel lonely or abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
So the last step, Zama, would be empathy.
Empathy.
Learn. Mm-hmm. And then Zama, you can imagine how your actions and your behavior makes your partner feel. It's going to be hard and difficult for you to see a reason to actually transform or change your behavior.
Mm.
It's going to be very hard. But the moment you can imagine how it feels to be a size 8 wearing a size 5 shoe, you're not going to care about anything about it. So this empathy stage is what leads to transformation. And you starting to have the feelings that your partner, and not wanting to hate your partner. Your partner is here to be loved and cherished and celebrated. So my partner, if me being on the phone for an hour makes you feel abandoned and maybe lonely, then I'm definitely going to cut down by 30 minutes and I'm going to make sure that I give this other 30 minutes to you before we get to sleep.
Yeah.
Empathy.
I like that you're saying it leads to transformation, because surely it should, because I'm thinking if you're not able to put yourself on the other person's shoes, you're not ever going to change that behavior, and it's just going to continue and continue unless you put yourself in that person and walk a mile. There's a statement that says walk a mile in my shoe and then you can actually talk about that. Exactly.
Yes.
Because you're not going to be able to say, no, it's okay, unless you walk a mile in my shoe.
Exactly, Zama. That's what empathy does. Walk in my shoes and you'll understand. Unless you know what it's like to be in my shoes, then you're not going to have any reason to actually transform. But once you can imagine walking in my shoes, then it's going to be some motivation for you.
Mm. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Well, Sis Lulu, I must thank you so much for coming through today. We're going to be connecting with you then next week, last time, oh my goodness. But for today, I want to thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you for having me, Mr. Malote. Thank you very much. I really have enjoyed this conversation with you.
Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.